Sabbath morning. I have a few, if you're visiting with us or you're new, you're welcome, you're more than welcome. Make yourselves known, hang about, shake hands, introduce yourselves, reintroduce yourselves. Hang about for tea and coffee afterwards. If you've been here a long time, stay. Hang about for tea and coffee afterwards. The roast can wait 5 minutes. Your friends are for a lifetime. So, with that being said, we have announcements, and all your announcements are in your bulletin that you've got on the way in the door. However, I do not see the motor night, which is on the 14th of June, I believe. And can I bring your attention to the church tidy-up day? It's called the work day, but it's really a tidy-up day. And we'll be tidying up around the church and around the surrounding buildings, and there will be a lunch provided. But it was a great sadness today that I announced the death of two deaths. I report the death of Mr. Robert McClelland of 44 Wincurn Drive. Robert, or Bob's funeral, as we all knew him, will be on Tuesday at 2 p.m. from the church. And also I sadly report the passing of Mr. Billy Lyons of 18 Greenlawn Parade. And Billy's funeral will be from his home on Wednesday at 10 p.m. And we remember their wider families in our prayers through this difficult time. Our call to worship today will be from Psalm 105, verses 1-3. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name. Make known his deeds among his peoples. Sing to him the praises. Tell of all his wonderful works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. And in response to that word from the Lord, we will stand to sing our first hymn this morning. And it's, Lord, I come before the throne of grace. And we'll stand to sing with hearts full of rejoice. As we come to the end of the season or the section on faith in Hebrews 11 today, you're going to hear the word faith and faithful quite a lot through this service. But let us come back and present ourselves before the Lord. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we do come before your throne of grace to find rest in your presence and fullness of joy as our souls cry out, Abba, Father. We remember the wondrous works you have done, the miracles and judgments you have uttered. All through history, you have been faithful to your people. You remember your covenant forever, the covenant made with Abraham, the promise to Isaac, the statute made with Jacob. You remembered, and you were faithful. You gave life to many nations through a man as good as dead. Their descendants are as stars in the heaven and grains of sand by the seashore. You remember. You never forget. You allowed Abraham to receive Isaac back from the dead, well, figuratively speaking, and through Moses you led the people out of the land of slavery so they may worship you. You gave a law, a promised land. You gave judges, prophets, kings, everything we asked for. Even a hope and a future promise, a new creation, a resurrection. You remembered. You do not forget. You sent your son Jesus to die so we might live, to give us a fresh hope in our resurrection bodies, as those who stand closer to the new city being built by you. You're faithful. You remembered. You do not forget. But we forget. We forget how deep and wide and high your love is for us. We forget how your word nourishes our weary spirits. We forget you left your Holy Spirit to comfort, guide, and prompt us. In our haste to build our own empires of dirt, we forget the one who does not forget. Forgive us for our fickleness. Cleanse us from our iniquities. Highlight those sins particular to us, those that we need forgiveness for. Remind us that those who seek forgiveness must also be willing to forgive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to continue this morning's service with our first reading, and it's going to be Romans 7. We'll read the whole chapter this morning. Romans 7, verse 1. Released from the law. Or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another. To him who was raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But we were released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in a new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code, the law and sin. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet, if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death for me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do everything that I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have a desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am! Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself may serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Amen, and may the Lord bless his reading to us. Children, oh, have we got a surprise for you? Oh, this is going to be a good one. This is probably going to be my gooderest children's address thing me to date. I don't know what I'm doing, but it's going to be good. The last lot of weeks, children, us big people and you as well, have been listening to me and the Reverend Preston going on about faith and all these people throughout history who had faith. And they were like sort of heroes in the Bible to the people back then. Does anybody have a superhero or a special hero that they like? It's Iron Man. Spider-Man, of course. That was the first film I went to see. It was in color. I have two superheroes that I like. One you might know and one you probably won't. The first one is Flash Gordon. He's brilliant. I watched the black and white YouTube ones of years ago. Love it. The second one, Captain Scarlet. The indestructible Captain Scarlet. They were my heroes when I grew up. But today we're going to be talking about the heroes in the Bible that were there all through history. And if you've listened to the prayers and what I've been saying, it's not only the people who were faithful to God, but it's God who was faithful to us the whole way through history. Now, in saying that, I'm going to cut this short and let your children talk over. But I do have a song for you, and we have actions. And everybody was at the midweek on Wednesday evening. There's only two or three of you here that weren't. We're going to do the actions. Okay? But I'm going to walk you through it first. Come and have the words up, please. So it's Noah built the most enormous boat that kept the birds and animals afloat. The Lord was good, the Lord was strong, and Noah lived his life for him. Moses led his people through the sea, taking them away from slavery. The Lord was good, the Lord was strong, and Moses lived his life for him. And then we go, this is, you won't love this one. Everybody, oh, thank you. Oh, thank you that all through history you were faithful. Thank you. Oh, thank you that you were just the same when it comes to me, when it comes to me. David fought Goliath and he won. A humble shepherd boy became a king. The Lord is good. The Lord is strong. And David lived his life for him. Daniel was inside the lion's den, but God brought him to safety once again. The Lord is good, the Lord is strong, and Daniel lived his life for him. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you that all through history you were faithful. Thank you. Oh, thank you that you are just the same when it comes to me. When it comes to me. Okay? Oh, Jesus died to take away my sins so we could come to know him once again. The Lord is good, the Lord is strong, and we will live our lives for him. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you that all through history you were faithful. Thank you. Thank you that you were just the same when it comes to me, when it comes to me. Okay? You got that?
Thank you.
Ben will not be so quick to take time off next week. We need to... It's... There's too much doom, doom, doom in between the thingies. I was nervous. I wanted to get through it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you as children. Some of us don't even have hair anymore. Some of us are Silver Surfers. Some of us are in the Purple Rinse Brigade. But Lord, we are all your children. We're all young at heart. Some of us can't even talk yet. But Lord, you knew every single one of us. You knew the hairs in our heads. You knew the beat of our heart. So Jesus, we do thank you for being faithful to all of us all through history. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do it again.
No.
We'll continue this morning with our next reading, and it's the reading that we're going to base the sermon on. The sermon's going to be based on Hebrews chapter 11, 32 to 40. However, since that we're leaving the chapter, I think it'll be good to get the context, and we'll just read the whole chapter through. Hebrews 11, first one. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of the old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs of this, with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, as good as dead, were born to sentence, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sands of the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of a land from which they had gone out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it is said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land. But the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who, through faith, conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign enemies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. All of these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Amen. And amen. Amen. In response to God's word spoken publicly to us, we'd stand and sing our psalm today. And our psalm will be Psalm 22, and it's verses 19 to 23. Let us pray before we end. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the faithfulness to us throughout history. A faith that we do forget when we are caught up in our own times. Father, we ask as we close this section of the book of Hebrews that we understand more about having faith in you, to rely on you, and what it is to be your servant. Father, we ask that you hide the messenger and promote the message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we come to the end of this section of Hebrews, we have looked at many different aspects of faith throughout it and things that were associated with this text. We looked at faith in the face of death and how many figures were used as an example of how these disheartened believers may look at to shore up, to encourage their own faith as they were going through the trials of the days they were living in. And indeed, we today can also draw on these examples and other examples that we know of as we run the race and stand our own trials and having faith in future things to come. We discussed how we were pilgrims on the earth, we're just passing through. This is not our final destination. We are sojourning through. We only rest here temporarily before moving on. We have our eyes fixed on what is to come. We also looked and posed the question of how far would your faith take you before you wavered? Would your faith take you to the face of death? And we also discussed how the author may have drawn on the common writings and knowledge of the time and those about to highlight, to give more weight to his argument and to strengthen his argument. And we'll see how the author includes these believers as part of the number of the list that he mentions. And he likens these people to them because of the trials they have already faced. And it's reassurance like this that we need in our lives today. And we tend to forget when we're facing our trials that we are part of the number.